The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. It's good to be back. Hope I can find my way around up here. Let's see. Microphone, glass of water, lectionary word of God. I think we're set. To understand today's gospel reading, you have to recognize that we are bodily creatures. Now, duh, that seems like a no-brainer, but it's true because sometimes we forget that fact, or we want to forget that fact. When our bodies function well, you know, we hardly give thought to them. But when something goes wrong with our bodies, even one little organ, one little aspect, it can get so bad that that's all we think about. This malfunction of our bodies. It can be in our glands, it can be in our digestive system, it can be our heart, it can be our lungs, it can even be, in the case of the woman with the issue of blood, in today's gospel reading, in our reproductive organs. And this was not what God intended when He created us male and female. You know, after He'd completed His creation, after He had formed Adam out of the dust of the ground and then taken one of Adam's ribs out of his side and fashioned a woman, a helpmeet for Adam, God said, "It is very good." Not just merely good, but very good, supremely good. This creation I have made, this man and woman who wear my image and are the pinnacle of creation, it is very good. And Adam and Eve's bodies functioned perfectly. They had no shame, they had no embarrassment about basic bodily functions or anything like that. There was no need to conceal themselves from one another, and certainly no need to conceal themselves from God. But after the fall into sin, after they disobeyed and took the fruit from the tree that God had commanded them, don't eat that fruit, everything changed. Disruption entered into God's good creation. It wasn't merely just the disruption of the relationship that Adam and Eve had with God, the disruption that occurred because they had disobeyed God and they were ashamed before God. It was a disruption of the relationship they had with one another as man and wife. It was a disruption within their mental and emotional natures. It was a disruption of their bodies, as from that moment on, they began to die. You know what it's like for your bodily processes to be disrupted. I'm not going to have anyone stand up and say, "Hey, this is going on with me," or anything like that. But you know what it's like. Maybe gallbladder surgery. Maybe a hysterectomy. Maybe prostate surgery. Or the seeds, the radioactive seeds implanted in the prostate. Maybe cancer surgery, a bypass. That's the way it is in a fallen world. That's the way it is with us sinners, whose sin affects not merely our relationship with God, but our very bodies, the bodies God created and pronounced good. See how sin was at work in today's gospel reading. Jesus had crossed again in the boat, the disciples' fishing boat, to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd gathered around him to hear him teach. He was beside the sea, and then, as he's teaching, up comes one of the rulers of the synagogue. You say the president of the synagogue, the property board chairman of the synagogue. His name is Jairus. That tells us we have eyewitness accounts here that he is named. And seeing Jesus, he falls at his feet, imploring him earnestly with everything within him. And he says, "My little daughter, the one I love, is at the point of death. Come, please come. Lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." You know, there is an advantage to being able to read the Greek that the New Testament was originally written in. That's why I send pastors, would-be pastors, to seminaries so they can learn the biblical languages. Because that phrase, that word translated, "be made well," can just as well be translated "so that she can be saved." Now again, we think of salvation as having to do something with the spirit, you know, something with the soul. Your soul is saved. You die, you go to heaven, you sit on a cloud and sit around strumming a harp and all that. That is not what salvation is. Salvation encompasses the entirety of your being, body and soul and mind and emotions, everything you are. "For did not the Son of God himself become incarnate in a body like yours and come down from heaven," as we confess in the creed, "for you and for your salvation"? It's not just a soul thing. It's everything you are. Your body. Your body that is sometimes disrupted and laid low by sickness, by disease, and will one day be laid low by death. "Come, lay your hands on her," Jairus says to Jesus, "so that she may be made well, may be saved, and live." And so Jesus went with him. I can picture Jairus. "Hurry, hurry, it's this way. Come along, come along. I hope we get there before it's too late." And a great crowd is following and thronging around. And Jairus and Jesus and Peter, James, and John are at the head of the crowd. And again, Jairus, "Let's go, let's go, let's get there." The crowd wants to see what's going to happen, because earlier Jesus had cast out some demons and everyone knew about that. What else is he going to do? But then the railroad crossing barricade goes down. Then the light turns red and they have to stop, because there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood, some sort of uterine bleeding, for 12 years, 12 long years. And the lifespan at this time was not very long. This was most of her adult life. She had been suffering from this. Not only the bleeding, but Mark tells us she had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all the money she had on these physicians. And she was no better, but rather grew worse. Now, as a pastor, I've visited a lot of people. I've been with a lot of people in their journey through illness. And it is a frustrating thing, and sometimes it is a futile thing, all the treatments. And it's test upon test, and experimental treatment upon experimental treatment. And it doesn't work, and the bills pile up. You get weaker and weaker, you or your loved one. And you or your loved one, or you together, suffer many things through this illness. And the rigors and hardships and difficulties of the treatment. This woman, because of her condition, was unclean in the eyes of the law. She had to stay away from people. She couldn't worship. She was an outsider. She was an outcast. So, after hearing the reports about Jesus, she comes up behind him in the crowd, slinking through. And she reaches out. She touches his garment, just the edge of his garment, for she says to herself, if I touch even his garments, just the fringe of them, I will be made well. And here again, the Greek, I will be saved. And immediately, Mark tells us, the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Now, don't think of this as some TV kind of evangelist thing, you know, where the evangelist says, be healed in the name of Jesus. And the person faints and falls back, and there's this big display, and people are hoop-hawing and all this. No, she felt in her body. Her body told her that she was healed of the disease. Where once there was infirmity and sickness, now there was wholeness. Where once she had to contend with this issue of blood, it's dried up. And all is good for her. And Jairus is meanwhile looking impatiently at his watch. Let's get on with it. But Jesus perceives that power had gone out of him. He turns about to the crowd and says, who touched my garments? The disciples. Sorry, Master, but you're a little crazy. See the crowd around you? How can you say, who touched me? But Jesus looked around to see who had done it. You see, he wants a relationship with this woman who had been an outcast. He wants to tell her something. He wants to speak to her words of gospel, just as he wants to speak these saving, comforting, life-giving words of gospel to you and to me, sinners though we are. Outcasts, though we rightfully are, from God's kingdom on account of our sin. But the woman recognizes she's been found out, and maybe she's afraid. But she knows what has happened to her. No one can convince her otherwise. She knows this wasn't some psychosomatic thing. She knows that she has really been healed, saved from this affliction. She comes in fear and trembling and falls down before Jesus, and she tells him the whole truth. Yes, I know I was unclean. Yes, I know that by touching you, I made you unclean. Yes, I know I shouldn't have done that, but I knew that you could help me, and so I came. And she's waiting for the rebuke that is sure to follow, but instead, Jesus says to her, daughter, my daughter, God's daughter, fear not. Your faith has made you well, saved you. Go in peace. and be healed of your disease. Is that not the message spoken to us sinners in the gospel? Go in peace. Be saved of your disease. The disease of sin and death and condemnation that courses through our systems, that hampers us every step of the way, that hounds us, and at times makes our lives miserable. Yeah, that's a word of peace. The gospel speaks. That's a word of salvation spoken to us by our Lord Jesus Christ through his word and in the sacraments. That is the word we come to hear. We don't come to be seen and to see others. We don't come to, "Ooh, look what she's wearing. Oh, a nice tie. Oh, I like the way your shoes are shined." We come for Jesus' sake, just as this woman, hearing the reports about Jesus, hearing the word of Jesus, believed that he could help her. And she came to him for the wholeness and healing and salvation he brings, just as we come to him for the same reason. Okay, let's backtrack to Jairus. I know it's a long text. Just bear with me. Hey, I haven't been here for 4 Sundays. I'm going to preach an hour and a half. No! Jesus is still speaking to the woman. Jairus, let's go, get on with it. And there comes from Jairus' house a messenger who brings the message Jairus does not want to hear. "Your daughter is dead." There's no need to trouble the teacher any further. And I think we can probably safely say this hit Jairus like a ton of bricks. He collapsed beneath the weight of the sorrow. His grief shook him. But Jesus overheard what was said to Jairus, "Fear not, only believe." Fear not are gospel words. No, when God sends a messenger, one of his angels in the scriptures, first thing out of the angel's mouth is, "Fear not, do not be afraid." It's like there on the hillside outside of Bethlehem, the night our Lord was born. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." That is my calling as a minister. Fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Christ has become man for you. Christ has taken upon himself a human nature like unto yours. Christ on the cross has borne your sorrows and afflictions as well as your sin. You are reconciled to God through this Son of God who knows what it's like to inhabit a body, who knows what it is like to inhabit a body that suffers and experiences affliction greater than your own when he goes to the cross to die. Do not fear, only believe, and that is why the gospel is preached and the sacraments have been instituted, so you can be confident of God's love for you and his forgiveness of you in Christ Jesus, and so that you can believe. So Jesus goes off to Jairus' house. Jairus doesn't know what to think. Peter, James, and John follow, and they come to the house of the synagogue, and it's bedlam there. Everyone crying, the grandmother, the uncle, the neighbor who stepped in to see what all the commotion was about. They're crying, they're shedding tears, they're lamenting, weeping and wailing. And Jesus says to them when he enters, "Why are you making such a commotion? Why are you weeping? This child isn't dead. She's only sleeping." Sounds like a Bob Dylan song. "She's not dead, but only sleeping." And they laugh at him. They mock him. They ridicule him. But he says, "Off with you. I've got work to do." Leave me alone with her, with her mother, with her father. And they go inside to the room where her body is laid out on the bed, and the color has fled from her face and her hands, and her skin is cold to the touch already. And they know she's dead. They know that she's not just sleeping. But he reaches out and he takes that small, beautifully shaped hand that's turning cold, and he says to her, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Little flock of Jesus, he says to you, arise. Arise from your unbelief. Arise from your doubt. Arise from your fear. Arise from your uncertainties. Arise from thinking that God has no purpose for you, that God is done with you, that God cannot possibly love you. Arise into the newness of life that Christ has given you through the gospel of forgiveness. Arise every day as you remember your baptism, as you rejoice in the fact that God has called you His dear child in Christ Jesus, that you are forgiven, that you have a future and a hope, a certain hope, that you're going to rise again in your body and you are going to be made whole and new. And the girl just lies there. And they wait and they wait and they wait, and she decomposes, and they decide after 6 days, hey, need to bury her. No, immediately the girl gets up. She begins walking around. She's 12 years of age. You know, this woman had been afflicted with the issue of blood for 12 years, and this child is 12 years old. They kind of share an experience there. And the Greek says that they are amazed with a great amazement at seeing this, something that is beyond their ken, something that is beyond imagining, beyond belief. Their daughter, who was dead, is alive. She has been restored to them. And you may seem that it may seem to you that the gospel is beyond belief, but it's not. Because what this girl experienced, Christ would experience. And what she experienced, and what Christ experienced, you will experience. Yes, you will die, but you will be raised again by Jesus. The promise of that is in the Word of God. It is in the promise of your baptism. It is in the Holy Supper, because there you eat and drink the body and blood that is the medicine of life and immortality. Your death, your resurrection, your healing, your wholeness, your salvation are all wrapped up in this gospel reading for today. And all these things are wrapped up in Jesus, who speaks the word of wholeness and life and salvation to you, and who can give you that wholeness and life through the forgiveness of sins. Because guess what? He died. And guess what's even better? He was raised again in the body, never to die again. It's going to be yours as well. This is the good news. This is what we rejoice in. This is the thing that amazes us with a great amazement. Thanks be to God in Christ our Savior. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And that was about 22 minutes. You owe me an hour and 8 minutes. Let us pray.